Praise the Lord this morning. If you turn in your Bible, we're going to have a look at a couple of well-known scriptures this morning. I really need your prayer as I bring this to you today. I really waited on the Lord all day yesterday and asked him to give me strength, and the devil came against me all night, as he always does. We're not ignorant of his devices, amen. And but let's just pray as we, just before we come to the word of God, let's just bow your heads with me and just pray. Lord, you've been with us at the very start of the service. Lord, your presence came in great measure. And Lord, I know there's people here, Lord, that are carrying different burdens, different situations going on. And Lord, in a wonderful way, Lord, your word can be so multi-directional. Lord, it can speak so many directions into so many lives. And I pray that will happen today, Father, that by the Holy Ghost, that your word would hit the mark. And that, Lord, regardless of my weaknesses, Lord, my ignorances, Father, that your name will be glorified. And Lord, speak one more time, I pray, from this pulpit in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. 2 Kings in chapter 13. If you go to your Bible, please, 2 Kings in chapter 13. Reading from verse 14. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and arrows." So he took himself a bow and arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." And he said, "Take the arrows." And he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck it three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have had struck the Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you shall strike the Syrian only three times." Then Elisha died and was buried. It's an interesting passage of scripture because Joash was quite a backslidden king. It's not that he was a worshipper of false gods. He was a false worshipper of the true God. He had enough knowledge and enough respect to see that there was a passing going on here that was very enormous for the nation. Elisha was the man of God that had many times brought deliverance to the people. And I'm sure there was a sense of nostalgia. You know, I'm sure there's a sense of loss, maybe a sense of Ichabod, that the glory of God is departing from Israel. And he understands that. He's probably wise enough to understand that you can't get by without God. It's amazing, you know, the longer we begin to live, the more we begin to see how dependent we really are on the Lord. Because the Bible says, "Young men shall utterly faint, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength." So he's there and he's made the journey to see Elisha and he's weeping over him. There's something stirring in the heart of this king. You know, there's a sense of passing. There's a sense of, you know, the purposes of God are now seem to be changing for the nation. And in some sort of strange way, the kings of their time, you know, they'd fallen into a sort of a groove where most of us do in our spiritual existence, where sometimes they, you know, we win the upper hand and then the devil the next day comes and takes back the land. And this is always the sort of battle that went on with Israel, that, you know, one day we win and the next day they win and we take the ground and then the next day they take it back. And in some sort of way, this has always been a sort of trade-off with the powers of darkness or with the enemies of Israel, that, you know, they won on a Tuesday, we took it back next week on a Thursday. And so that sort of mentality had flooded into the thinking. And it's amazing how that mentality floods into so many Christians, that we think that a Christian experience is meant to be something similar. One day we're in the victory, today, this morning at Times Square Church, the presence of God, but Monday is coming. The enemy says, "I'm going to come and take it back." And so this sort of zigzaggy, up-down, helter-skelter expression of faith was always something that was dogging Israel. And so, the young king comes to him and there's something in the overture, there's something in the prayer, there's something in the fact that he actually had the good sense and duty to go to Elisha, that Elisha is stirred by the Spirit of God and he says to him something very unusual. He says to him, I want you to go and get a bow and an arrow and open the east window and I want you to shoot those arrows. And so he's quite mystified. You know, this is, you know, the last words of a dying man are very important, friends. Amen. So he's probably a little bit mystified as what he's doing and why he's doing it. But you know, sometimes as Christians, ours is not the reason why. Ours is but to do or die. Sometimes God doesn't tell you all the reasons, amen? Sometimes there's a thing called fate. Sometimes there's a shooting into the dark. Sometimes we don't understand where we're being led. But I want to tell you right now, we are better led than what we realize. We have a God that says, I would never abandon you. I'll never leave you to yourself. In this world you have tribulation, but I'll be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I will never leave you or forsake you. And so there's the leading of the Holy Spirit that is upon the church of Jesus Christ. And so the king, this young prince, he takes the bow, and Elisha stands with him, and he opened the window. And you can imagine the picture that Elisha puts his hand upon his hand, and he says, now shoot the arrow. And the arrow flew. And he didn't realize the intensity of what was going on, didn't realize what was actually taking part there. But the man of God says, the Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram. And he says something very powerful. And in the words of this dying man, this young king still hasn't grasped hold of what God is actually saying. There's a victory here. I'm speaking a word, and you know, that verse in scripture comes to mind. I'm doing something new among you. Now it will spring forth. Would you not be aware of it? And sometimes God speaks to us, and just we're not quite aware of what he's doing. We're not quite tuned in to the moment that God has brought us to here today. We are, for this moment in time, we've been brought to the kingdom. Amen. There's no accidents that we are situated here in Times Square Church at the crossroads of the world, where every argument and every philosophy and every political ideal is in the marketplace, and we see the changes and the forces around us. But yet God has led a testimony here at the crossroads of the world, and God is speaking a word to his church. Amen. And he begins to speak faith to this young man, the Lord's arrow of victory, the victory over Aram. And he says, now shoot. And so you can imagine the sort of body posture, kind of a little bit stiff. Okay, takes another arrow, shoots it again, hits it through the window, hits the earth a second and a third, and then he stopped. And I began to think about this. You know, he was given an open window. And how often we as Christians, God, in the work of Calvary, has given us an open heaven. We don't shoot through a closed window today, friends. Our prayers don't hit the ceiling and come back. Amen. Our prayers make the mark every time, even if we don't feel like it, even if we don't see it, even if we don't understand it. And he tells me something. The Lord's victory, the Lord's arrow of victory over Aram, you will completely destroy the Armenians at Apec. And yet he couldn't grasp hold of the final words of the man of God. He couldn't grasp hold of it. A lack of faith, a lack of luster. The last words, friends, are very important. There was famous last words 2,000 years ago on the cross when he said, it is finished. Sometimes a revelation of what that means needs to fill up our very spirit. Sometimes we need to say, what is Jesus saying? It is finished. It is finished. The Lord's arrow of victory over Aram. And sometimes it's met with such a mediocre response. Sometimes we get this tepid response in our spirit because we haven't really understood that we are on the winning side. Amen. Joash heard the words of a dying prophet. He could not mix them with active faith, friends. He did everything that was asked of him. But at the end, his lack of enthusiasm showed the very nature of his faith. The prophet was angry. I'm sure there's a disappointment in God's heart towards many of us today when he has given us so much in Christ. You know, I tell you, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I've lived long enough to know there's nothing else that compares to Jesus. There's no other ism. There's no other doctrine. Let me tell you, boy, Buddha is dead and Muhammad is dead and Krishna is dead, but Jesus is alive, amen. And he's still changing lives today. Some will put their trust in horses and some will put their trust in chariots, but we shall put our trust in the name of the Lord. It's a proven and tested item, friends. It amazes me how the world looks to its own resource all the time. Man looking to man. It's a crazy thing. Will we ever learn? We get rid of one bunch of idiots and put another bunch of idiots into power, and we think the world's going to change. Amen. It's amazing, the solutions of the world is to look to man as its source. its own ability, its own strength, where there is no strength in man, friends, no strength to save, no strength to change. And if God doesn't step in, nothing will change and people won't change and the world will go on as it is. But thanks be to God, he did step in 2,000 years ago and started to change the world and build his church, and he hasn't stopped building it. The Lord's arrow of victory over Aram. And when God's people begin to catch hold of a revelation, and I begin to think about the arrows striking the ground. And you know, I love the teaching in Ephesians chapter 6 when the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God, putting on the whole armor of God. And he gives us six examples of the armor of God: the shoes of the gospel, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. But there's another one, friends, there's a seventh. Didn't realize it, teaching it for years. Maybe I did teach it in the past and forgot about it. But he talks about prayer immediately. You know, the fact of the matter is, I checked this up last night. The Roman soldier had more in his armory than just what Paul talks about. He had a javelin. And God has given arrows to you and me, friends. A javelin is just an arrow that's thrown from your hands. Amen. And there's something in prayer. And I began to look at the arrows that God has put into our hands, friends, that he has created an open heaven that we can pray and let those arrows fly. And sometimes, friends, shooting arrows will require effort and aim. And sometimes shooting arrows will require instruction and help. And shooting the arrows must be done through an open heaven. But sometimes we don't shoot those arrows. Sometimes we hold fire. Sometimes we shoot in the dark. We don't really know the outcome or the target or the matter. But it doesn't matter, friends. When God says shoot, you shoot. Amen. And God says let those arrows fly, you let them fly. When God says men ought always to pray and not faint, then, friends, we should pray. When I started into ministry, I started like every person with good doctrine, with a desire for the lost, but with plenty of my own ideas and very little prayer. Now it's beginning to change because I'm running out of ideas very fast and I need more prayer. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Prayer is powerful. Prayer is a weapon. Prayer is given to us and given to us because we can shoot it towards true and open heaven. I want to tell you today, all of your prayers have been heard. All of them. Oh, it feels like the skies are brass. They only feel like brass. They're open to us in the veil of Jesus' body, in the new covenant. We are not going into a closed heaven, friends. We have an open heaven. In time of need, the scripture says, we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Sometimes we don't understand why God would leave us in a prayer. Sometimes we don't know why we're praying. And actually, in fact, I read the title of the book. I didn't read the book, but the title said everything. It said, don't just stand there. Pray something. In the light of an open heaven, in the light of what Jesus said at Calvary, in the light of what the scriptures embody in truth and say, that we, friends, are not just about defensive behavior. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing, and deliberate, forceful men and women lay hold of it. Amen. It's a church triumphant. Onward, Christian soldiers. Hallelujah. The target sometimes only becomes revealed through faith. Sometimes shooting the arrows is ineffective because of a lack of confidence or consistency. Maybe that's you today. Sometimes there's a make or break moment when it's gone, it's gone. And there have been tragic moments in all our lives when there's been that burden of the Spirit put on our hearts to pray and we missed the window, friends. We missed the opportunity. There's been moments like that, and you know, that opportunity has sometimes far-reaching implications, not just for us, but for other people. And Joash here was given an opportunity. He was told to shoot. He wasn't told to stop. He was told to shoot. And if he kept on shooting instead of putting it down and waiting and reasoning it out in his mind, friends, I'm telling you, if he just threw reason to the world to the side and said that the man of God's told me to shoot, so I'll shoot until I become weary, until I faint, until he tells me to stop. You know what he would have done? He would have secured a victory, not just for him, but for his entire kingdom. He would have lifted babies out of the grave. He would have stopped widows. He would have just brought such life to his people. But because of his lackluster and his lack of confidence in his prayer life, friends, he showed the weakness of his faith. Elisha was angry with the king. And I think in some measure the Holy Spirit has got a controversy with us when he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep shooting. We need to keep praying. Men ought always to pray and not faint. We are so often content with small effort. You know, the soft grace message that goes around today. Let me tell you, friends, the Bible calls us laborers and it calls us soldiers. Amen. It doesn't call us sunbathers can you hear? Can I hear now, men? So often we are content with little effort. I'm telling you, friends, if anything of the victory of Calvary began to soak up into your soul, it would cause you to pray more because you know that heaven is open to you. It would cause those arrows to fly. You say, I don't know, I'm shooting in every direction. You know, I'm telling you, friends, at least you'd hit something eventually, amen. Christians, we need to keep on praying until he says stop. Some of you here are praying for a husband or a wife or children. Until the Holy Spirit says, that's enough prayer, you keep on praying. You don't stop. You don't stop coming to altars. You don't until the Holy Spirit says, I've heard it now. You're going to move on. You keep praying. Believing for your family, you stand and you pray and you put those arrows through heaven. I'm telling you, friends, every prayer is a powerful weapon. Every voice matters. I'm convinced in part when the scripture says that he's made us partakers of the divine nature, it incorporates prayer, amen. That somehow the divine nature of salvation and the progressing of the kingdom is we are brought into cooperation by the Holy Spirit to see that kingdom advance. That's an epic, that is an enormous truth. But it's a truth, friends. You're brought into the army of God. Keep shooting in the battle against sin. Keep shooting in your prayer life for the attainment of truth. Keep coming to God and say, oh God, give me more truth, oh God. Open the scripture to me. That's a prayer, amen? That's an arrow that goes right into the heart of God. Keep shooting, friends, in the attainment of faith, in the advancing of the kingdom of God. Keep shooting. Keep shooting because the world, the flesh, and the devil won't stop shooting back at you, amen? When God gives you an invitation, take it by faith. Take it with boldness. Don't be tepid. Don't be half-hearted. That's what Joash was. He had a measure of success. But friends, had he just laid hold by faith what was said to him? And when we go back to the scriptures, what the Savior has done for us, when we hear that he has done a finished work, that he ever lives to make intercession for us, that we are indemnified because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. We are clean because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That not one charge, not one fiery dart of the devil, when he tells you that you're not good enough, that you're not strong enough, you're not this, you're not that. You have a shield of faith. And my faith says, my God has made me strong enough. My God has qualified me. Joash's lack of faith manifested in a half-hearted attempt. And it was unto him according to his faith, my friends. It really was. Thy faith is healed thee. When we consider the miserable excuses we sometimes make. Oh, I stopped shooting because I didn't want to be so presumptuous and ask for too much. I stop because I'm not a very good archer. It's not my ministry. Men ought always to pray. Not some men. All men. Prayer is not the duty of one or two within the body, friends. It is the divine right of every man and woman to have their voice heard in heaven and their mark made. Amen. Some people's eternal destiny relies upon prayer and effort. Some people have a theological problem with that. I don't. I stopped because I thought three was plenty. You stop when he says stop. He may say stop after three times and you move on to another prayer request. But until he says stop, friends, until he says, I'm not going to heal, you keep on praying for a healing. I haven't taught the right to the very, very last breath. until he says it's over, it ain't over. Amen. Hallelujah. You keep on praying. Prayer does something to you, in you, for you. It is so multifaceted. There's so many angles to prayer. What God is accomplishing within you, within your faith, within your understanding, within your lines, within your communication, within your ability to understand and discern his heart, and then to see the needs of others outside of your own. It's multi. There is so much at work in us when we pray. I'm only starting to come. Pastor Carter was sharing with me the last couple of years, my senior pastors who are well advanced in years have been on about prayer, banging that drum out, so they're just banging that drum of prayer. Oh, we get up and pray. And I'm telling you, friends, you start to move on a little bit. You begin to say, ideas are not enough. Good doctrine is not enough, friends. Men need to pray and shoot those arrows through that open heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, but I'm doing it anyhow. I stopped shooting because I wasn't in a shooting mood. I didn't feel like it. It was nothing to do with your feelings, Joash. There was a victory shout, the Lord's arrow, a victory over Aram. Can you not hear something in the Spirit? Amen. You see, the Bible says those who are led by the Spirit of the Lord are the sons of God. Amen. There needs to be a growth in your Christianity. Healthy things grow. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I reasoned as a child. But when I became a man, the scripture said, I put away childish behavior. There is a maturity in the Christian life. There is an advancing. If you're saved a while, your understanding of the Bible should be more complete than a young Christian. Can you say amen? You're not to stay a baby. You're not to stay just on the milk of the word, friends. You're about to get into the meat. Amen. Into the solid food for the mature who've learned how to divide the word of truth. And if you're not there, then you pray for it and say, oh God, give me more truth. Give me more understanding. That's a prayer to an open heaven that God will answer. I stopped praying because I didn't want to get overexcited. Anyone like that here today? Have we got any Baptist brethren here? Please keep on praying. He hears Baptist prayers, Pentecostal prayer. He hears the prayers from all his saints. Amen. I remember he's a wonderful friend. Came preach for me many years ago from a Calvary chapel. And it's a little bit different than some of our congregations. They tend to be a little bit more, in his church, a little bit more sanguine, quiet. Great, great preacher. And every time he'd hit at something out of the scripture that really touched our hearts, our congregation went at Times Square Church, they were clapping and some of his entourage with him at lunch was saying to me, Pastor Mick, we really enjoyed your services. But every time Pastor said something, we couldn't get over the reaction of your congregation. They got all excited and animated, and they weren't against it. You're just quite bemused with it. And I said, wow, strange. I said, do you watch football in America? He said, yeah. I said, well, who's your... He said, oh, I follow the Seminoles, and, whenever. I said, when the guy does a touchdown, is that what you call it? Do you sit down and go, that was very technically interesting? Do you see how the quarterback sidestepped the defender and then just, that's very British, isn't it? I said, I don't think so. When you see something that's very powerful, when you see something that's very real, I said, can you really contain it? Do you just spectate it and go, oh, that's interesting? Or does it do something inside you? Because I want to tell you, when God begins to touch you, it touches your emotions. It touches everything. We don't call it the Holy Spirit. We say it's our reaction to truth. Amen. It excites me to talk about Jesus. Amen. It excites me to lift up my hands in his presence. It does want me to sing. And it does cause me to dance. I don't know about you guys. I was going to get up the second time. He told us to sit down. You guys sit down. I'm just following you. Next time you make room up there, I'm singing with you guys. Let them sit down the whole way through the worship. You can't be passive when God is moving. You're not to be a spectator. You're not sitting on the fence. Well, if you are, let me tell you, you're not a hot nor cold. Jesus never gave you the luxury to sit on the fence. You're either with me or you're against me. Now, if it's all in, then let it be all in, friends. Everything. Cut all the shorelines. Move. Move with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you don't know where he's going. You don't need to know where he's going. He knows where he's going. It's nothing to do about being excited, friends. It's about faith in the word of God. It's about faith in what Christ has done. It's about faith in the proclamations of Calvary. It's about making spiritual pronouncements over this dark world that Jesus Christ has laid claim to this cross of every person in this planet. Amen. His blood can take away the foulest of sin. His blood can make the worst man, the worst woman into a good man, into a good woman. That's why we preach. We preach a gospel that changes a man or a woman from the inside out. Not some sort of theology, not some sort of doctrine, not some sort of philosophy, not some sort of reasoning of man, not some new therapy, not some new pill, not some new shrink. We are talking about the Holy Ghost of God that comes in and changes men and women. Ezekiel 47, incredible scripture. It's one of seven long chapters that Ezekiel gets this wonderful prophecy. Some people believe it's a prophecy about a millennium kingdom and about the temple being rebuilt. But there's also an immediate fulfillment to this as well, friends. And I want to just bring you and close this out with this morning. He said, then he brought me back, verse 147. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was the water flowing from underneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing underneath the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me by way of the north gate, and he led me around to the outside, to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. And he again measured out 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that one could not cross. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, the water flows down towards the eastern regions, goes down into the valley and enters into the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be very great multitudes of fish, because these waters go there, for they shall be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And I want you to see, just in closing out this message, I want you to see a picture of Elisha. Now, the temple, of course, I think there's more Christology here than what we realize. I think Ezekiel is actually seeing a picture of Christ, because Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he's seeing something prophetic that is actually done in pictorial form that is pointing towards a person, as much as it might be a later resurrection of some form, but it's a person. And the water that flowing out of that side of the Lord Jesus Christ, you remember when they pierced him with that spear, it says water and blood came flowing out. It's a picture of Christ and the mercy and the grace of God that flows through the gospel. And anywhere that gospel goes, it begins to heal. Everywhere, you know, you see there's big fish in this water. And Jesus said to the disciples, I will make you fishers of what? Fishers of men. And everywhere the gospel went, it went down to the arid places, and trees began to grow left and right and healed, went down into the Dead Sea and it healed the saltiness, and things were made alive, because that's what the gospel is, friends, amen. It's the power of God for salvation. But here's the issue. Elijah, Ezekiel is brought to the very banks, and he's led in, and he's in his ankles up to the very, very warm water. You know, everyone likes to go to the beach. I don't know about you, but I love beach. And we like to go to the shallow water, don't we? And skip around. It's warm. It's safe. I'm walking in the gospel. It's wonderful. This is really nice. Splash your wife when she's not looking. Splash your little kids who can't defend themselves. Enjoy yourself. But you know, there is a call of deep, calling unto deep. There is a call of moving deeper into the gospel, friends, and all what that means. And the man measured out a measuring line and he bought him another 1,000 cubits. Just in case you don't know what a cubit is, it's a measurement from your elbow to your top of your finger, normally 18 inches. So if you're ever on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and they ask you what a cubit is, you win the million because I gave you the answer. Amen. 1,000 of those is measured out and all of a sudden he's up to his knees. And you know, and that's the progression of the Christian life. Healthy things grow. We must begin to experience. Not a theory, but a testimony. Some of you are a long time kicking around in shallow water. And shallow is written all over your forehead. You're not apprehending that which you've been apprehended for. You're internalizing and intellectualizing, and you're not taking God at his word. And when you say prayer, you're intellectualizing it away. It's nothing to do with the intellect. It's to do with the cry of the heart, friends. When he says, I give you an open heaven, the gospel is flowing my side, which was riven for you, where water and blood came flowing out. That gospel, that release of power, that release of the very regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that went through the whole world, friends. God wants you to journey deeper. And Elisha, Ezekiel is just like us. Another 1,000 and he's up to his waist, up to his chest. And he can't even swim in it anymore. It's overwhelming. And I want to tell you, friends, until you go into overwhelming waters, you will never have a testimony. You will only have a theory. And that's not good enough. The husbandman must be first to partake of the harvest. I heard somewhere that we have to suffer for Jesus. Never suffered myself, mind you, but I heard it. So as we begin to see this out in prayer, because really the emphasis is prayer, is growing in the gospel, growing in the manifestations, growing in the gifts of God, growing in the promises of God, because healthy things grow. If you're in the gospel, wherever that gospel goes, it heals, it restores, it strengthens, it builds up. Amen. If you just stand in the ankle deep, you're in the gospel, you're saved, you're going to heaven. But I'm telling you, friends, you're missing what it's like to get carried. Instead of skipping over the ocean like a stone, you'll learn how to sink into the very depths of God's truth and God's love. Step out into the dark. Step out into the unknown. Step out, friends, of your comfort zone. Step out of your own thinking and just say, I'm going to start shooting those arrows of prayer. I don't know where they're landing. I don't know what's happening, but God has called me to pray, and so pray I will. This church is being upheld by prayer. You think it's Sunday morning that's holding this church? It's Tuesday night. It's elders that are getting up 6 o'clock every morning to pray. Because we've all run out of ideas. How to keep you in the church. How to keep the millennials. How to give you more tea and coffee and stuff your beak and make you fatter. We've run out of it. We know nothing more now anymore than Christ Jesus and him crucified. We've only one message. We've only one rally cry, friends. We've only one gospel, one Lord, one baptism. And so who's at that turning point of their Christian experience where they say, I'm ready to start shooting some more arrows. I'm ready to start getting into deeper water. I'm ready to get up to my neck in this. It needs it. The hour deserves it, friends. Our lackluster approach can bring the same results of Joash, a level of breakthrough, but not the breakthrough that they could have had. I've never felt more energized in my spirit that God is going to do something very sovereign. I really have. It's either that or we're all finished. Just looking what went out in Charlotte. Is it Charlotte? Charlottesville. Just to see the evil pus that's coming back again. This country will tear itself apart from the inside out. You won't need North Korea to do it. You won't need Putin to do it. It'll do it all on its own. Unless you start shooting some more arrows. Make it a choice today. Because it is a choice. He will give you the strength, but it has to be your choice. Pastor Carter would say, who's with me? Would you stand right across the auditorium this morning? I'm going to ask you to contemplate in your very spirit before the Lord, not to make this a hollow, ill-thought-through altar. But this is an altar where you are going into the deeper water and you know it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you sometimes your own rationale that will try to talk you out of prayer. But you say, no, the only thing that God wants me to do is men who would always pray and not faint. Even my own journey, and I'm not going to put myself up as an icon of this because I'm certainly not. My wife is here and she would tell me afterwards I'm not. But I see it now. But even my own journey as a minister, I'm finding myself praying more in my spirit, praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. Before, with many of us, it's just a few sentences as we turned around on the shoulder in the bed. Anyone else like that? Couple of sort of strange moments in the bathroom. When something happened, a quick prayer offered up. And you know, that was shallow and God met us. We were still in the gospel. We had a level of success, incredible. Look where we are today and the miserable prayer lives that we've had. Can you imagine if we start praying more? Amen. Look where we are today and the miserable prayer life that we have. And God is saying, I've given you an open window. I want you to shoot those arrows of prayer. Take up that javelin. You know what? The Roman soldier actually didn't have one javelin. He had two of them. They're just big arrows. And start beating, just shoot them, friends. Let them fly. I have a friend in Alabama. Strange part of the world there, Alabama. They love their guns. Brother Josh, a great man, a great hunter. He feeds his family and other families who go off hunting deer. And back home, we don't have guns. I mean, it's very rare to see anyone with a gun. It's kind of freaky. When I held the gun in my hand, it made me deeply nervous. Not to get into the WRC thing, whatever you call it over here. But I remember he brought me up one to do some shooting. And so he puts up these targets, and I'm just shooting away. And I'm brutal. I mean, I'm 10 feet away with a shotgun, and I still miss. And that's no lie. I mean, it's nothing moved. It's scattering. Shells are going this way. Nothing happens. It's like, you know. But when he said, fire at will, oh, I really like that one. Because he gave me one of these kind of ones, these kind of motorized things or other, you know. Before we just have the noise action, he gave me one of his semi-automatics. He said, I just hit that tree, fire at will. Well, I probably knocked off 100 rounds and hit the thing twice, you know. But I hit it. And God is telling you today, fire at will. I watched all the old John Wayne movies growing up, friends, and when the baddies would come and the goodies were there, and he said, hold, hold, hold. And then all of a sudden the command would come, fire at will. And the smiles that come on their faces, because now we can start inflicting damage to the enemy. Fire at will. Fire at will. Don't hold back. God's opened a heaven to you. If you would like to come and join me, and I'm going to be here with you at the altar, I'm standing here not just to pray with you and for you, but pray for myself, because I know that this is where God wants us to go. I do. To believe that he has won the victory and to start praying in faith and just pray more than ever before, friends, and to not stop until he tells me stop. He will tell. There will be times where God will say, you've prayed enough in that situation. Do you understand? There is a leading. There will be times he'll say, you keep on praying. I'm doing something in you as well and multiples of other things you can't see. You're praying in the dark. It doesn't matter. It's powerful because it's gone through an open heaven, an open window. So I'm going to invite you to come and say, God, do something in me. Lead me, Lord, as you did Ezekiel, into the deeper water of the gospel, into deeper experiences with you. That, Father, that I would move from being the one that would just have theories, nostalgic, emotional drama, as Joash had, or weeping, and remembering the old Bible stories, and we do an awful lot of sort of weepy behavior, don't we? We remember things and look back, but you know, It's not meant to be just about that, friends. It's about advancing the kingdom, growing in God. And so I'm going to invite you to come to this altar right now. You can come if God's put anything in your heart today. I invite you to come as we worship the Lord and we're going to pray together. Thank you, Jesus. You are very welcome at this altar. God will answer your prayer and God will put something into your spirit that only He can put in. Amen. A confidence to pray, a conviction to pray, a faith to pray. You're going to pray with expectation. You're going to pray with courage. You're going to be adventurous in your prayer. Some of you need to become adventurous in your prayer and pray big, amen? Pray big. Aim big. Pray high, friends. Shoot your arrows today. What are you asking the Lord for? He didn't tell you stop praying, so keep praying. Hallelujah. Let's worship. Thank you, Jesus. When I was a younger Christian, it was always only the older ones used to pray. Do you remember those days? We would do the evangelism, we would paint the building, we would do all, but pray was, I'd rather do anything but pray. I'd sing 1,000 songs before I'd pray one prayer. But now I think God is calling us to use those prayers as powerful weapons, friends. And you have to understand that the Holy Spirit has brought you into a strange and unusual doctrinal area of cooperation with Him in prayer that we don't quite figure, we don't need to figure that out. What we need to do is pray. So we commit ourselves at this altar to become praying people, amen. And when God puts it on your heart, you pray and you don't stop. Amen. Hallelujah. It's part of the armor of God. I'm absolutely convinced of it. Father, we pray this morning, Lord. We simply come before you, Lord. And we understand, Lord, that to move deeper into deep waters will come at personal cost, Lord. And Lord God, and we know, Lord, we're going to have a failure in that area. So we thank you that there is no condemnation there. But we understand that the Holy Spirit will journey with us and bring to remembrance these altars, never in a condemning way, but in a convicting and powerful way, so that we, Lord, would take our part, Lord, on the ramps and upon the walls, and we would, Lord, fire those arrows against the enemy, against the forces of darkness, Lord. We fire, Lord, the area of prayer, Lord, right into Charlottesville today, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will melt the hearts of men. We come against the powers of darkness that would bring such savagery against human being, oh God. Lord, we know, Lord God, that the governments have no answer, Lord, but Lord, we pray and you would send your Holy Ghost and arrest them in their very spirit, Lord. Bring salvation, bring revival, Lord. Oh God, we pray for the conflicts of homes and families. We pray for our streets and our communities. We pray for our colleagues and our work. Lord, we pray for, Lord, our backsitting children and husbands and wives and uncles and aunts and mums and dads, that, Lord, for years we've stopped praying, oh God, now we are back praying again. We are believing for them in the name of Jesus, Lord. And now we pray, Lord, not just by requesting, but we pray believing. Until you say you're not going to do it, we're going to say that you are going to do it, Lord. Until you tell us it's not going to happen, then we pray as it will happen in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that, Lord, like a spirit would descend upon us, Lord, a conviction that, Lord God, that we would, Lord, know the truth, Lord, of heaven, that your word in our mouth is as powerful as your word in your mouth. And as we pray the truths of God back to you, as we declare the truths of the gospel, as we begin to declare the truths of Calvary, that it is finished, that Jesus has paid for everything, that the devil is a defeated foe, that he's a squatter, and we evict him in the name of Jesus. He has no legal right. He has no right over the people. He has no right over our family. We pray against the powers of darkness that are trying to sink this nation. We come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. We throw a javelin so long and so hard throwing up in heaven. We rebuke the powers of darkness that are bringing confusion and disunity into this land, into the church, Lord, into the family, into the relationships. Lord, we come against, we stand as it were, oh God. Has been brought into, Lord, this intercessory place by the Spirit of God. We don't make anything presumptuous, oh God. We come by invitation. We come boldly. We come laying hold, lay claim. We stand again, Lord God, in that old truth, oh God, that Lord Jesus, Lord, you have given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We have a right to stand. Not just stand wobbly knee, but to strengthen those knees in the name of Jesus. And Lord, to lift up those hands that are sagging down in the name of Jesus, Lord. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, you will loosen our tongues in Jesus' name, oh God. Not just our natural tongues, but the gift of tongues and the spirit of speaking in the spirit. Right now where you are, begin to speak in the spirit. You're going to be 100% in the will of God if you begin to speak in tongues right now. Right in the very slipstream of God. Hallelujah. Whatever your request is to heaven, raise your hands. But your hands is just an indication of your spirit, friends. But raise your voice to God. Don't just stand there. Pray something. Amen. Oh, I don't know the leading. Well, start thinking about people and then start to pray for them. Start with your cousin and your uncle. Start with your neighbor and your rabid boss. And start with a person that's eking you and egging you on. And just pray for them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stop thinking about your problem and pray about it. Amen. And stop being burdened down. Raise the burden to heaven. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, revival will break out in Times Square Church, Lord. That men and women will leave here, Lord, full of God, full of faith, oh God. Sharpened in their prayer lives, oh God. Not boastful about it. Not saying, I pray like Ian Bounds. But I pray because God put prayer in my heart. Let it be natural. Let it be organic. Let it be real. Let it be the natural outflowing of depth of relationship, belief of the gospel. That God, you would carry us beyond, oh God, just being a Bible-carrying Christian into, Lord, the sword of the Spirit, oh God, into the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the shoes of the gospel, and the arrows of prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, oh God, release this burden upon us, oh God. Give us the strength to carry that burden, oh God. Give us the privilege, oh God, to be used by you, to speak back to you the very mysteries of heaven, oh God. That we would be the conduits of the Holy Ghost. Release it right now, oh God. Lord, prayers that have been dormant, prayers that have been left, prayers that have been forgotten will be revived in Jesus' name. That the vision awaits an appointed time, and maybe now this is the time, this is the hour. Lord, begin to move again, Lord. Open up our mouths and fill it, oh God. Open up our hearts, oh God. May our mouths be filled with laughter and our heart songs of joy as the Lord restore the fortunes of old, oh God. Bring back that Pentecost spirit, oh God. Bring back that faith in the gospel. Bring back that charisma, Lord. Those giftings, those movings of God. Bring it back into our vocabulary, into our economy, into our homes, into our personal lives, oh God. May we take it onto the subway, Lord. May we take it onto the boroughs, the streets, oh God, into the homes, oh God. May it not be contained in a house, but may it flood the nation. Wherever the river went, it healed. Let the river leave here today, oh God. Let it go through the different places, oh God. Let the fish be saved, oh God. Oh God, make us fishers of men, oh God. Make us the restorers of broken down walls, oh God, and broken down families, Lord. The restorers of the breaches, oh God. Lord, do something very, very powerful, Lord, through the very weakened vessel, oh God. We believe the gospel. We believe that you are on the throne. We believe that you are the overcomer, oh God. We believe that you ever live to make intercession for us, oh God. And we stand because you stand. We pray because you pray. We believe because you believe, oh God. We go because you went, oh God. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your glory. Come on, let's worship the Lord.